Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover luxurious duvet sets today. Visit harrycurry.com for stylish comfort this spring.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 515 0818 715 815. And Joe at RTE.ie. Paula Jennings. Paula, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Well, yeah, you're on WhatsApp. Great, clear call. You were you kicking yourself? When did you realise you'd made such a big mistake?
Well, the mistake was that I had put an electric charge in my car. Mm-hmm. So I then drove to the petrol station just to fill up because I was down to a quarter on petrol. Mm-hmm. And I came to the petrol pump on the wrong side, because it was busy, there were lots of cars.
Okay, yeah.
And so I took the hose, and I parked in quite near. And I put up the hose and I said, I'll reach, you know. Now, I didn't realise when obviously I looked at the pump and it was black for diesel,
okay.
Black colour. And then besides the black colour, there was blue. Mm-hmm. So I thought the blue was petrol. And I picked up the hose and I brought it around the back of the car. It was a bit awkward. It came to the angle was awkward, and I thought that's why it wasn't fitting in.
Ah,
I didn't know that that diesel was a wider nozzle than petrol has. Well, I wouldn't have known that because I never put usually don't put a diesel into my car, so I didn't know. But I thought that the non-fit was because of the angle I was at, which was a kind of an awkward angle. And I said, oh, it's sort of spitting a bit, maybe I should stop. And then I said, no, it's all going in, that's okay, it's going in. And I was putting it in when I looked over at the pump, and I don't know how from that side of the car I could see now diesel was written over the blue.
But you met resistance when you're trying to get the nozzle into the tank.
I didn't really because the angle wasn't straight enough for me to actually try to put it fully in anyway. So I was at a bit of an awkward angle. I was going to abandon it, but I could see that in fact the fuel was going in. Okay. So without spilling out, there was a little bit of spitting.
How much did you put in?
I put in €12.80, and okay. I had a quarter tank in, so I put in about the same, maybe a tiny bit more. I went and paid, said it at the garage, how annoyed I was, but sure, the guy has just taken the money, that's nothing to do with him. And I said, well, I'm driving on electric because I had a full electric charge. Mm. So I thought it might be okay to go. I didn't know, and I rang Kia. I said, sorry, it is a Kia car.
Okay.
And they said, you'd have about a mile, you could maximum. And I said, well, you know, I'm pretty much near to home at that, so I will drive it home. What I didn't realise was when you drive it into your parking of an apartment block, of course the tow truck can't get in. So I thought that was going to be a big issue, but the reason why I wanted to start a campaign is
us through that journey home.
Sure.
You were under the impression that the journey home, because they say if you do put petrol into a diesel or diesel into a petrol, whatever you do, don't start the engine. Let the liquid get into the system. You did start the engine. You were under the belief you get a mile, is it?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I didn't
electric.
Know anything about. I didn't know anything about you. Don't start the engine. I didn't know that at all. I know it now because I was driving, and Kia said, "When you stop, don't start the engine." So that now I knew it, but it would.
Well, when did you realize you had a problem? Or was there? Did it show?
Oh no! I knew I had a problem because I put diesel in.
I know, but how did it affect the engine?
No. I didn't see any effect on the engine. Okay. And in fact, the AA guy said that because I was on electric, I should be okay because I was driving on electric.
Okay.
But I don't think that's the advice. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think it is. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, just make sure you stop.
So you're now in the basement of your apartment block.
Well, the tow truck came and, I got onto my... When you get onto the insurance, they say, get onto your broker. I got onto the broker, they said I was covered. I got onto the insurance, they said I wasn't covered. I took out my insurance, looked at it, and I said, oh, tarnation, they're right, because on page one, it said you're not covered. But if turn over the page and on page two, it says you are covered. So I got back to them and I said, I am covered. And they said, actually, you are. But of course, I will lose my no claims bonus. So the whole episode is, at least I lose 30% of it.
What was the rectifier? How was it fixed?
Well, it's up. It's up. It's now fixed, but I haven't got it yet because it's up in the garage. €517 later. It would be dearer if you needed a filter. But apparently I don't need a filter because that's not applicable to my car, which is a plug-in hybrid, PHEV.
Okay.
But so many people said it happened to me, it nearly happened to me, and now the fuel gets dumped in the ground.
Yeah, well, that's what can you do? Well, I'm sure there's ways of collecting. Use fuel unless you're smuggling it up at the border, as you know, you read a lot about that.
But it must be so bad for the environment.
Oh, it is bad. Of course it's bad for the environment. So what did the AA do? Did he suck the diesel out?
No, the AA actually told me because one of my friends said, oh, that happened to me now quite some time ago.
Okay.
And the garage said, have a cup of tea there and we will have it ready for you in 20 minutes, which they did. But you can't do that anymore, according to this AA guy, because he said because of the theft of fuel from cars, car manufacturers made it that you cannot siphon out like that out of the car.
Yeah.
Because so it has to go to the garage, it has to go up, be drained.
Yeah, but siphoning was a phenomenon when, remember there was a petrol shortage or a diesel shortage as well.
Yes.
And petrol prices went through the roof, pardon me.
Yes. And
fellas were going around or whoever and they get a tube and you drop the tube into the fuel tank. You start sucking it, literally sucking it. Until you get a bit of suction and the force flow, you take a little mouthful of diesel force and then you just empty, just keep going into a canister or a container or whatever. And you say that the manufacturers reacted to that. I didn't think it was that big a phenomenon. But anyway, they reacted to it, so you can't suck diesel anymore, so to speak.
Apparently,
Okay. Now, you keep mentioning the tow truck. How did you get your car out of the basement then?
I said, did you start the car in alarm? No. He said, you go over and open the gate. Stop worrying. I know what I'm doing. I think he just rolled it out, pushed it on a bit of a roll, and it actually was it was rolled out.
And apparently, I don't know how it is with a hybrid, but with an all-electric car, you should never tow it. You have to lift it onto the back of the truck because it will pulling an electric car apparently will destroy the car.
It has a little which I never noticed, a little circular in the front of the car. There's a little circular mark, but it's actually a hole, which is where they put the tow. To lift it.
Now you're starting a campaign. What's the campaign?
Well, the campaign is that the petrol stations should clearly indicate this one is diesel and this one is petrol, possibly with larger print. Diesel or larger print, larger than the other print. You know, one is not, they shouldn't be the same.
Well, do the colours not help? No, I'm conscious of people being colourblind as well.
But there's, but I mean, but at the, but they, probably mightn't be driving at that rate. But at the same time, the colour wasn't a help to me because I thought blue was, because blue was there on the far, there were two for petrol and two for diesel, and there was a blue on the far petrol and the blue on the diesel one that beside the black one.
So basically what you're saying, that diesel and petrol should never be on the same unit.
Well, ideally, they should be at different sections. They really should. I mean, it's so easy. People, so,
so
many people
easy
have
and
said
then so expensive to fix.
And so expensive. And in the UK, you could be paying, you know, you could. Well, here, I think if you had to get a new filter, you could be up to 1,000.
Wow. And I'm sure people have done it confusingly and on holidays.
Yes.
Has it ever happened before? I suspect not. Because it is a lesson, unfortunately, learned because of the amount.
Not for me, but my husband did it years ago. He did it on a friend's car, but he said it was a bit of a banger anyway.
Now, I don't know much about petrol pumps and nozzles, but you see, I see here you say your friend said...
Yes, that's a UK friend. He said, I said that there should be a difference in the signage, and he said he would prefer to see a difference in the actual nozzle, even though there is a bit of a difference, but not enough to indicate.
What difference would he be recommending?
One should be a completely different shape, like triangular, doesn't fit in at all into the petrol car. But it could actually have diesel written on the nozzle.
I don't know if the triangular nozzle would get off the ground because every diesel car would have to be able to receive it.
Yeah. No, that's the best case scenario in terms of a long term. But I do think it should be written on the nozzle as you put your nozzle, you know, as you put that metal.
Is it not on the label on the nozzle? No,
I didn't.
I know.
See
and
it.
Then I take your point. You're putting it's happened as all. You can't get into the proper side of your where your opening is, and you pull over the hose, so to speak, which is can be quite inflexible, and you get an angle, and you thought it was the angle that was creating the resistance rather than the aperture.
Yes.
And have you got much support so far for?
I'm amazed at well, thank you, Joe. You've started it. But the number of people who've said it's happened to me, or it nearly happened to me, or you know.
And did the garage not have? I think a lot of garages do. If aren't there companies that will come out immediately, and they tell you push your car into a corner in the garage, and we'll come out and empty it before you press the turn the ignition.
I did ring a company that a separate company, but they said they always say because it's a PHEV, a plug-in hybrid electric, you better go back to your manufacturer, and it's on a warranty, so I would prefer I stick with the warranty.
Okay. 0818715815. David, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe, great to talk to you.
Likewise, go ahead, David.
Simply to that girl, but every petrol station all over the country, the handle and the hose is green for petrol, and the diesel is a black hose and a black nozzle. All over the country, they're all the same. Green for petrol, black. So it's clearly written on the head of it as well, but all diesel is black and all petrol is green. Do you know the green nozzle?
And did you know that? Paula, did you know that?
No. I didn't. No, because I've never lifted diesel,
Isn't that the point, David?
Yeah, but the nozzle on the diesel is about maybe it's a quarter of an inch wider than the petrol.
Yeah, but she still got it in, and it didn't damage her.
Yeah, well, she didn't actually get it in. She obviously didn't get it in. She obviously used it as a tunnel. She can let it flow in, but she wasn't in.
That's right. Yeah.
And David, have you...
It's easy to happen, but just for future, for everyone, it's like black is, even if it's not written on it, black is...
And what about people who are colourblind, David? I know, and they can't drive. You're colourblind.
My own son is colourblind, and he's completely crazy. Every colour is different, man. But anyhow, he'd be the same. Yeah, true.
Have you ever done it yourself, Dahi?
No, but I know a guy, driver for a haulage company, and I won't mention his name anyway. He put €600 worth of petrol into a diesel lorry.
Wow.
Yeah. €600.
Yeah.
He didn't get employee the month anyway, did he? That month?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Okay, David. I don't know. You say it's common knowledge. It's like common sense. I don't know if it's that common. That common.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, but all diesel is black.
Black, okay.
Yeah, I know. But,
and that's why I thought the blue was not diesel. It was blue under the, beside, there was black on one, you know,
well, blue, the blue nozzle is for AdBlue.
What's
AdBlue?
The blue nozzle is for AdBlue. Did you put AdBlue or diesel into your car?
No,
if it's a blue nozzle, it would be AdBlue.
No, it wasn't
blue?
A blue nozzle. It was a blue
AdBlue
sign.
Is,
you know, the
cut down admissions. AdBlue is cut down admissions in your.
No, it was. There were two diesel sections.
Yeah.
And one was black, and the second one was blue on the pump, not when I lifted the nozzle.
David, I thought AdBlue was for agricultural vehicles.
No, all lorries are on AdBlue.
And what?
Lot of Jeeps are on AdBlue.
Well, is AdBlue all I need?
Sorry, Joe?
Is AdBlue a form of diesel?
No, it's sprinkling in basically a chemical into your ignition and it cuts down your fumes coming out.
Do I fill my tank with AdBlue?
Yeah, if you're driving something with AdBlue and you don't put in, if you run out of AdBlue, it could go into lymph mode and maybe 20 kilometres.
But AdBlue, obviously everything's from the oil family, but AdBlue, is it closer to diesel or petrol?
It's kind of like acid, Joe. It's like water.
If you spill
some on the ground, if you spill some on concrete, you'll see it reacting with the concrete.
Jeeps
have it. Jeeps, vans, and all the vans.
And the advantage is the environment, which is.
Yeah.
Sorry, what's the size of the nozzle on that AdBlue?
It's smaller than the petrol again.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's smaller. It's about three quarters of an inch.
Yeah, well, that wasn't that. So the black one, the two that I saw diesel on it, one was black and one was blue.
Okay, David, just to help me again. If I put AdBlue into a petrol car, what happens?
I'd say it'd be worse than you put in diesel.
If I put AdBlue into a diesel car, what happens?
Same thing.
You have me worried sick now. Monica, no, Cleary, stay there, David. I'll come back to you, Joe.
Can I just say one thing, Joe?
Yes.
Sorry, Joe. What that girl should have done, I think she said she put in €12 worth of diesel. Is that right?
Yeah.
And if you ever done that again, what she should have done was top it up completely with petrol. Fill it up with petrol. And then it would have been all right.
I'll try and get the mix.
People say that. But
You're saying try and dilute it. Okay,
yeah,
David, exactly. Safe travelling. Where's Monica?
Monica
Cleary. Monica.
How are you? I was in Dublin recently on the 7th of March, and on the way home we went into Barack Obama Plaza for petrol, but diesel was put into the car in error, so the car gave up on the motorway. About a mile down the motorway, we had to get a pickup truck to wait 3/4 hour, 10:30 at night, and then we had to get a taxi home, which cost €180.
Wow.
And then the next 2 days later, we collected the car from Templemore. But I feel very strongly about what that lady is saying, because
you agree with her
so easily.
Yeah,
and the petrol pump will go into the diesel pump, the diesel tank, no problem.
Oh, would it? Yeah. Okay, you're saying. And Monica, how much did it cost to get your car? Okay, it's €180 for the taxi.
Yes, €350.
Okay. They are, well, Polly, you're not alone for a start. This happened 18 a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Sorry, what did she say it cost? How much did it cost?
350.
To empty the car. Okay, and how old is your car?
141. But you have to pay for the disposal of the fuel that's taken out of your car
point.
As well.
Yeah, because of the environment, rightly so.
Yeah.
Okay, Monica. So, do you know how whoever made the mistake, and it doesn't matter who made, but do you know how the mistake was made?
It's just distracted and late at night to get home.
Yeah. Okay, Monica.
Thanks. Happened so easily. Thank you.
Thanks indeed. That was in Barack Obama Plaza. Ray Duffy. Ray.
Yeah, hi Joe. Good afternoon. Just to follow up on the previous listener, AdBlue is an additive that's added to diesel cars from about 2017 onwards. Okay. It reduces emissions. It's a mixture of water, distilled water, and urea acid.
Okay.
And it has a separate tank in a diesel car, so it wouldn't be beneficial if you put it in to petrol, because it'd be like adding petrol into a tank of water, adding water into a tank of petrol. So it wouldn't do you any good. It'd actually be harmful for the car. Yeah. But that's all it is. It has a separate tank on diesel cars, usually beside the other thing, and it has a small blue cap, and that's it. So that's what it is. It's just an additive, and you can actually buy it in garages or motor factories.
That's right,
John,
separately, I actually thought AdBlue was a form of antifreeze, but it's not. Okay, that's well explained.
It's kind of similar process in that it's a different tank in the car, and then in the engine it actually mixes with the fuel or the emissions, and it just basically nullifies some of the emissions. And that's what happens. Okay, so no. And then the other thing is just, I was saying, I had the experience as well of unfortunately putting a lot of petrol into a diesel car, because I got, like other people, it was a busy day. I was supposed to buy petrol for some machinery to use for gardening. And when I went to the pump, I still had that in my head and picked up the petrol pump and stuck it in. And when I had about 70 euros in, I discovered that, oh no, it's the wrong pump. So I went into the garage, because I know you shouldn't really start the car. I went into the garage and spoke to them, and they recommended a guy to give me a phone number, and he wasn't available. Somebody recommended somebody else. It was 500 euros. I looked it up on the internet and I found a company, and that company quoted me a figure of 250 euros. They cover all of Ireland. They were there in about 40 minutes. The guy had specialised equipment. He put it down into the tank. Effectively, a snake hose, but they have specialised equipment, because you're dealing with petrol. It has to be isolated, because you can't get a spark out of it. Okay, and so his van is slightly different distance away, and they pump all the fuel out of your tank, all the contaminants out of your tank. You're completely empty, and then you have to refill the tank again. And away you go.
Well, but the fact that there is a fuel fixer, I think, is a company, one of them at least, proves that that maybe it's more common than we think.
Oh, look, it's a lot more common. I mean, I still go to that petrol station. The guy behind the counter has a laugh with me every day. Every day I get a fill up saying, I say 50 euros a day. He says petrol back, just joking about it. He would have that fault. It'd be a very busy fuel station. It's an Apple Green. They would have it common enough every day or every second day, and it is confusing for people. And then you have some people who drive a fleet cars, so they might be in a petrol car one day or a diesel car the next, or family cars if they're changing them around. There could be petrol and diesel, so it is a common thing. But it's good for people to know there is a solution. You're better off getting it fixed.
The thing is not to start the ignition. Push the car in and don't shoot the fuel into the engine. Yeah. Okay, Ray, that's right.
Is it not absolutely disgraceful that that a station has this every day, and that they wouldn't have put up a bloody sign to say, be careful? Every day.
I know. I wouldn't disagree with you. And sometimes people go back and they put the wrong pump into the wrong holder. Now, it happens between the diesel
and the high-level diesel.
But people do put... And, like, I know there was kids doing it at a petrol station. look, having a bit of fun over it, but it really wasn't fun if you got caught with it. So
yeah,
no. You're saying some people would do it for a prank.
Yeah, for a prank, exactly.
So
they messed up the bump, and you think you were getting
some damage.
Yeah, it could cause a lot of damage. The other thing is, Joe, it's important for people to know, like, if you notify your car company, it could make your warranty null and void. So, you know, if you had a fairly new car and you put it, they might tell you that, and if the engine got destroyed, they might tell you, well, it's down to your fault for putting in the wrong fuel. So just be aware of that.
Okay, Ray, stay with us, Aileen, and I've other callers to go to after this break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. Aileen Eglinton, you're listening to Paula, but...
I am.
Speak freely. I was going to say you don't have much sympathy, but I don't want to prejudge.
Well, I did it myself. Hands up, I did it myself. I was driving home from Cork. I pulled into a garage late, dark in the evening, and I made the mistake, realised it when the tank was about half full, and said, oh my God. But it was totally my fault. I wasn't looking. As I said, it was late in the evening, it was dark, and that's the way I see it. I've never, ever done it again. Okay. I learned my lesson. The only thing I'd say is I went into the garage when I realised my mistake. The guy in the garage immediately said, like some of the other callers, don't start the engine. And he was brilliant. He called a tow truck guy who had the experience. And I think that's the only thing I'd say. It would be great if there's something. I think this whole idea of campaigns, it's clear diesel is black and, you know, we all know it. Made a mistake, move on. But I do think maybe some of the guys in the garages should be trained in what to do or to know where their local guy is to solve it. But, you know, that's the way I see it. Made a mistake, it cost me, and I've never, ever done it again.
And a diesel is black and not blue. And it was blue. The colour was blue. That was my problem. And I totally agree. It was my mistake. But they were not trained. And I think you have a very good point there that the young fella at the checkout had knew nothing about the issue and just sort of shrugged his shoulders, hard luck. He didn't respond at all. They're not trained. And there's no notice up. And there's no notice up to say, if you make the mistake, do not drive your car. And they make their money out of us putting our hands in our pocket and paying for the petrol. The least they could do is have some decency towards us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but ultimately, if we make a mistake, we make a mistake. You know, I just think I'll never do it again. You'll never do it again. So, you know, that's the way it is. And
I think we have
to find out what it is.
Yeah. I'll never do it again, but I want other people never to do it in the first instance. Now, that's where we differ.
Well, I think there's enough people have heard it today who won't make the mistake again or will think twice when they go in.
Well, that would help. Well, Aileen, you say no need for campaign.
Absolutely not. But I do think that maybe, you know, if some of the big Apple Greens or some of those people are doing, I think getting on bandwagons and do things, I'm not sure it's the right thing to do. But maybe in terms of staff training, it might be something that comes under staff training, particularly in the rural garages, that if there is somebody close by, if this happens, if somebody else makes the mistake, because I'm sure somebody will in the future. But I put petrol into a diesel car, which is the other way around. But like, as I said, it happened, it cost me, and
you learned.
Never again.
Okay, and remember, if you are getting on a bandwagon, make sure you put petrol into a petrol bandwagon or diesel into a diesel bandwagon. Paddy, thanks, Amy. Paddy Bourne.
Hey, Joe.
What happened?
Can you hear me, Joe? Yeah,
you must have felt right.
I just pulled in.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry?
No, did you feel a right idiot?
Well, I felt, no, because it was in the last 40 years I've done it three times.
Okay.
And once wasn't announced. Once I just drove, it was working for a place, and I just drove to petrol out of it, if you know what I mean. I drove down to Carlow, and as I got to each station, it kept filling up with diesel, and it worked out. But the first time I was told, I was driving a transit, and I was told, do not, like the lady said, don't start it because you start the pumps up. The last time was last September. It was cold anyway, and I was going into town, and your man pulls up after about 30 minutes. The guy behind the counter didn't bat an eyelid. Oh, yeah, we have a number for that. And he pulled up, and he began to drain my car, and that was grand. I got chatting with him. Now, how are you? Are you busy and all that? He has, I won't mention the firm, but it's a well-known firm. They have three vehicles on the road.
Brilliant, yeah.
For it's called Miss Something, Miss Fueling, or they have a posh name for it.
Yeah.
I was saying to him, really? I said, are you busy? Oh, I kept going all the time. And what do you do with the diesel? Oh, what do you do with it? Oh, well, we have to dispose of that.
Yeah, properly. You have to pay to get rid of it, yeah.
Yeah, so I was charged 240, I think it was.
Wow.
€240. So that, and I had to refuel the car then as well. So, Oh, sorry, it was a diesel car and I put petrol into it. So, but the thing about it is, if you look, Joe, I can't remember the right station, but the lady there who's starting the campaign might agree with me. Some of the pumps are green for diesel in one of the stations.
Wow.
Like, so usually you pull up and you see the sign, and I think it has a couple of letters on it. And the diesel pump is black and the petrol pump is green. And all of a sudden you see this green one, and it's actually a diesel pump. They could easily, an engineer could easily manufacture a pump or a car that would be impossible to fill with the wrong fuel. So, I don't know, there's money to be made, I'd say.
Yeah, there is, yeah. Well, that's what I
industry.
Think. Yeah, yeah.
It's an industry, I think. Yeah. And it's if your man's coming along to me and saying, we're doing very well,
it's a legitimate industry.
If you had no green man crossing the road, you'd say, well, that's your own fault, you know. But, if they could put something in that make you actually say, well, hold on, even, they've beepers for everything. Joe,
that's true.
Beepers for everything. You don't put on your seatbelt, you leave a window open, somebody pulls up beside your car, you get a beeper. Could they not put a little indicator on, a little blue light, on your fuel cap or on your app or whatever, and it would say wrong fuel? Or on the if they're so concerned about it, they could easily put it into the petrol pump. Easily.
Yeah.
The petrol pump could just disengage
if anyone who uses diesel, when you take out the diesel nozzle, you will get a beep, 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 like a traffic light or whatever.
If it gets a scent of petrol,
Paddy, that's like putting a man into space. It's not straightforward.
Well, no,
just put a beep, beep, beep on the diesel pump.
Without any
sensitivities, you don't have to. And people know if it's not a beep, 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 it's not diesel.
Exactly. That's perfect. And you know something as well? I know they're going to roll out. I pity that lady. I know they're going to roll out this excuse of, well, cars are going out now, so we won't be following that up. But they'll still be getting €250 before tax or whatever, after tax. They'll still be getting €250,000.
Yeah, but during the outbreak there, I was looking up, there's a few companies, Fuel Fixer, Wrong Fuel, Wrong Fuel Doctor, On-Site Fuel Drain Service, and the reviews are excellent. They're lifesavers for a lot of people.
Yes, I know, and there'd be a review for the station if they had put what you suggested, a beeper, or even diesel nozzle, petrol nozzle. Why not make them so that you can't actually interchange them?
Well, you see,
and you have a plug. Sorry,
have they not done that?
Well, it's a bit difficult to put the diesel into the petrol, but I think the petrol into the diesel is a lot easier. But there's a bit of a chunk when you're trying to put the diesel. If you put the diesel, by the way, you can guess there, I've done it. If you put the diesel, it's not like I go around stations and try this out. Like, I've actually been saved a couple of times by the shape of the nozzle, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think like 3 times over 40 years isn't a bad record anyway. Because I know there's probably other people who, do it more. So anyway, think it's an industry, and they're well aware of it, and they're not. And the bottom line is, why should we fix it when we're making money out of it?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, but now let's be clear. You're not.
Fair play to that lady.
Now let's be clear. You're not imputing anything now of these brilliant fuel fixing companies.
No, not the fixing company. Not the fixing company. The stations.
Yeah, but the stations aren't making much money.
What's
your logic there? You're saying the stations benefit because you have to take out the diesel and put in petrol.
No. It's the stations who have control over the mistake that people are making.
No, it's the people who have to control over the mistake they're making.
Well, as we can see, that's not working.
Okay. So let's get...
Joe, where are you going to buy the... Sorry to interrupt you, Paul. Where are you going to buy the petrol? Say you put in the wrong... You spent 50 quid. Where are you going to get the fuel again? You have to go to the same station and buy it again.
Paddy, I think you're watching too much Donald Trump. That's a terrible conspiracy theory.
No, I'm only saying they should be. I agree with that.
But we won't impute anything.
No, but we're simply asking for a clearer demarcation between the two, whether it's a beep or whether it's a sign.
Okay, Paula, well done, and I'm glad. well done in sharing it, because I reckon I guarantee we've helped a few people even in the last half hour. Paddy Goodermeal, Margaret Aileen, Monica, David, all the other callers, joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we're told, well, obviously pharma, but one of the other big industries that'll be affected will be the whiskey spirits industry in Ireland, exporting to the USA with this 20% price tariff on it. Now, Peter Cooney is from Bohan Distillery. Peter, good afternoon.
How you doing, Joe?
Well, how are you doing?
I was better yesterday, but then again, you know yourself, we kind of knew these tariffs were coming, so we've, you know, a little bit of speculation, but you never know until it happens. So it did happen yesterday. Mr. Trump has done his day of liberation, and now we have to deal with the consequences.
And what are the consequences? Do you sell much whiskey or your product into the States?
We do. It's one of our biggest markets. Wow. So just to give you an idea, we would export to 80 markets around the world. We make Irish whiskey and Irish cream liqueur. So it is a very important market for us. 10 years ago, it was about 75% of our volume. That was obviously a little bit of a worry. Mm-hmm. So we spent a lot of time looking at other markets, taking the eggs out of the one basket. And thankfully now we have diversified. We're in 80 markets around the world. But, you know, 30% of our volume is still going to the USA. So it is problematic for us. But unfortunately, the only loser here is the consumer, because the price of a bottle of whiskey on the shelf will go up because the tariff will be passed on to the consumer. So less choice and more expensive goods for the consumer, unfortunately.
But there is one beneficiary on the island, and that's Bushmills Distillery in Bushmills, because they only have a 10% tariff.
That is true. Swings and roundabouts.
And they are now distilling. Well, obviously, Bushmills is a wonderful historic brand, but they're now distilling Conor McGregor's whiskey. I wonder, did Conor have a word with Trump?
You know what? That probably did happen. You never know. They seem to be best of pals.
Because his whiskey will only go up by 10%, and whether the distributor or the distiller can absorb it. But yours, the rest of the island, i.e. the 26 counties, that goes up, whiskey goes up by 20%.
Yes, well, the rest of Europe, so we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, but there's nothing to beat Irish whiskey, and there's no one in Europe.
No, it's the best. We're
the only island that can make Irish whiskey. Well, 20% on what is your whiskey retail at in the States?
So we would have a range of whiskeys starting from entry level all the way up to, you know, expensive age.
Yeah, but entry level, your classic bottles.
For an example, so if I had a bottle of whiskey on the shelf in America for $50, a 20% tariff ad valorem will mean on the shelf it will probably go up by $10, so it'll be a $60 bottle of whiskey. Mm-hmm. Now for Northern Ireland or the UK, a $50 bottle of whiskey will go up to $55. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
So yeah, there's two different prices for Irish whiskey, two different tariffs, But then again, Trump put tariff on some islands in the South Pacific that have no people, and no one has visited in aeons, and yet he still put a tariff. He must have been up late at night with a globe and a torch. Yeah. Okay, whiskey, Irish whiskey, I know after Prohibition, Scotch got back in much quicker, but the Irish whiskey market was decimated. In the 60s, 70s and 80s, it's picked up again dramatically, and especially since 2000 with all the different distilleries. But where, like, can you replace 30% of your, pardon the pun, your volume in other markets? Surely not.
Well, we're not going to lose all 30%. But, you know, our sales volume will be down, no doubt. But luckily, as I was saying, we export to 80 markets around the world. A big, big focus for us is emerging markets. India, China, Brazil, a lot of Africa. And in some cases, you know, a lot of the other Irish whiskey brands aren't there. A lot of the big companies aren't there. And to be there when there's very few, you can set the benchmark. And the thing about America is it's a fantastic market. It's the largest consumer market in the world, but everybody's there. And it's tricky to play. You have to pay money. You have to have feet in the ground. It's a very competitive market. Whereas these new emerging markets, you know, everyone isn't there, and it's a bit easier to play. So that's been a big focus for us.
Well, for example, how do you get your whiskey to the Cameroon, and who sells it in the Cameroon? Who's your distributor?
So essentially we will sell ex works. So we'll sell from our factory door, and the importer, for example, Cameroon, will collect the container, bring it to Cameroon, go through the motions with duties and excises, and then distribute on the ground. That's how it works. And so we've got import partners around the world that facilitate bringing our whiskies to their market.
So you're stoic. You're not hopeless. People felt a bit helpless, but you're definitely, as I said so many times, the Irish manufacturers aren't hopeless by any stretch of the imagination.
No. We're very resilient. Here, look at the Ireland. We're all over the world. We're doing an amazing job everywhere. Yeah. Tariffs, it's a big speed bump, but you know we'll get over it. We've been here before. Okay. As I was saying, in 2018, we had them on Irish cream liqueur. Scotland didn't have them. So, you know, we'll be grand. Just stick to the knitting and, you know, focus on other markets. And, you know, the tariffs are only going to be there for a little while. And the big worry is, what is it, the EU going to retaliate? They're coming back on the 14th. So they could make it worse, Joe.
Well, have they already
I'm praying not.
Have they already put a tariff on bourbon, the EU?
They did, yeah. That was reinstated, 25% tariff. So 20% tariff isn't too bad. I was actually expecting a 25% tariff. So, you know, no tariff is good, but it could have been worse. Mm. You know, he was pontificating 200% there a couple of weeks ago, and that most certainly would have closed the doors of America. 20% doesn't close the doors.
Yeah. And what did you think? Did you watch it, Peter? What did you think when he came out with his big bookies board? I thought he was going to come out and give us the odds for the Grand National on Saturday. The way he went, the big board.
It looked
tawdry.
It looked like
looked
a scene
cheap.
From The Simpsons, didn't it? Yeah.
A 4-1.
Not to be knocking our friends across the water. But,
and the favourite is
ridiculous.
Stumptown, and then he goes down and down and down. Oh, just bizarre. But anyway, not funny. Mm. Not funny.
No, not funny at all.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Okay. Have you any idea how many distilleries there are now on the island?
50 distilling on the island of Ireland. Yeah. And that just recently happened. So, you know, we've had a massive resurgence. America has obviously played a big part of that, but it's not all about America. There is lots of other countries in the world. Okay. I believe Irish whiskey is exported to about 120 countries in the world. So they'll just be getting a bit more focus now going forward.
Okay. 50 distilleries. Was it 20 years ago there was only 3?
Wasn't it?
And include Bushmills, Middleton, and I think that Middleton and Bushmills at one stage were the two.
And
then
and
I know
Cooley, that was
and
the
then
three,
Cooley,
yeah.
the John Teeling, yeah. And he in many ways he led the resurgence.
And
knowing John Teeling, he'd be very hopeful.
He's obviously a very positive person as well.
Cheers, Peter. I hope it works out well. Seriously. because there's a lot of jobs in the Irish distilling industry now. A lot of jobs. Good to meet you, Martin. Best of luck, Peter, to Bowen Distillery. joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Anne Moran's in Temple Oak. Anne, how do you remember it was Valentine's Day?
Very easily, because of the amount I paid out, I'm afraid.
Okay. What happened?
Well, again, I was putting diesel, I put petrol into a diesel car, Valentine's evening, 7 o'clock, and 400 euros later, I still remember it.
Yeah, but were you, when you say Valentine's Day, well, like, were you love struck or something? Were you thinking of the evening ahead with your, yes, paramour?
Oh, no, I was getting the din-dins in, actually, so I just ran down, got the dinner, got the diesel, and stayed there for the evening for a while.
So you
in the garage.
So you put the diesel in, petrol into a diesel engine, you put the petrol into a diesel, and what happened on St. Valentine's Night Massacre?
Oh, I had to ring up my beloved and say, can you come down after doing something silly? So how and ever. That was our lovely evening, lovely romantic evening, waiting around in the garage for himself to come up in a van and pay out 400 euros later for 10 minutes' work.
Oh, that was to suck the diesel, suck the petrol out. Take it out.
I'd have done it myself if I'd known how to do it, but how and ever.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah.
Have you done it again?
I did. I know. God, I did. But lucky enough, only €3 worth went into it and I copped on. So I did, filled up the rest with diesel and drove off.
Diluted,
up into the
bed. Well done,
it worked out. Yeah, it worked out.
And were you perspiring as you drove off?
Yes, I was waking up the next morning and said, oh my God, is the car going to turn on?
And what do you think of Paula's campaign? She wants different lettering, bigger lettering.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Or even a car manufacturer should be made with different nozzle for petrol and diesel.
Well,
simple
that's what
enough.
They, yeah, but they do. The manufacturers say we have put in a different shape. Paula admits that she did. She thought the resistance from the fuel cap, so to speak, was due to the angle that she was entering it at. But
no, I haven't come across that. They all go in easily enough, be it diesel or petrol. I found anywhere around Dublin anyway. Maybe they're different down the country. I don't know.
And
but,
then,
oh, definitely.
And Anne, you have an outrageous suggestion at the end of your text here. I tell you one thing. I'm not reading it out.
No, I'm just wondering, is it more women than men? It's just that it's very easy to be distracted with kids in the car, maybe old people in the car.
Yeah.
Had my mum... My mum had to mention the car one time. She was trying to run out and I was trying to put petrol into or diesel into the car. And I said, you know, it's very easy to be distracted. I wouldn't, it's more women than men. But anyway, that's just an aside comment. I don't mean to be overly critical.
No, but it's a good. No, I take your point. You're not talking gender per se. You're talking about people who are busy with children in the car, be they men or women, and distracted. And you're keeping the eye, trying to keep your eye, and maybe the child trying to open the door, and all this carry on. Yeah. Okay,
exactly.
Anne, you're very honest. And how's Valentine's Day gone for you since, Anne? Do you celebrate every Valentine's, every February now, do you celebrate Valentine's night or you celebrate 400 euro gone down the drain?
Oh, don't rub it in, Joe, no.
Ray, well, Ray is there from Fuel Rescue. Stay there, Anne. joe@rte.ie. Ray.
Yes, Joe, how are you?
Why is it, I'm not hitting on you, but I'll come back and let you talk about it because I know it's a great, it's a very professional service. But why is it so expensive?
The big expense is the equipment that we use, the insurance costs, the cost of getting rid of the contaminated fuel.
Okay.
And you know, our insurance to drive around in a vehicle that's capable of pumping fuel. Is quite expensive, and the vehicle has to be prepared to a very high standard.
Okay.
In fact, we're audited by the insurance company, and we're audited by some of our customers.
Because you're carrying inter alia, carrying a lot of fuel, different types of fuel.
Even just the pumping stations that we use, they all have to be certified. They all have to be. Done to what's known as an ATEX standard, which is an
so many. I don't expect you to know, but are many companies in the business in Ireland?
Well, when we started this 15 years ago, we were the only one.
Okay.
Now there are are some competition out there since then. Some of them last, but most of them don't, thank God. The people who last are you know, motor industry professionals. The people that don't are
okay. And it doesn't work out for them for whatever reason. What is the procedure? First of all, do you advise people do not turn on the ignition?
Yeah, well, if the two ways of looking at it, if the customer is still in the filling station, we advise them, do not turn on the ignition. Do not make any attempt to move the vehicle. If for whatever reason they have started and moved it off the forecourt, it can still be repaired as long as they haven't driven too far with it. If it's been driven to death and it just basically expires on the side of the road, it's not the end of the world. 9 times out of 10, it can be repaired.
Okay. Is it your company? I was looking at during the break. You guarantee what, 45 minutes? You'll be there within an hour depending, of course.
Most of the work we do is in the greater Dublin area. We can normally get to our customers within 45 minutes. Now, obviously, if we travel the length of the M50 on a Friday afternoon, that's not going to happen. But we stay in contact with the customer and try and get to them as soon as possible. Now, if you're at one end of Wicklow and we're on the M50, as I say, on a Friday afternoon, there will be a delay. But most people are understanding, you know, that they just want the issue resolved, you know.
Yeah. And how long does it take to sort out?
It varies from car to car. Most jobs would be there and gone within the hour. If there's only a small amount of fuel, like if there's...
So, Ray, in the world we live in, why is it still happening?
It's happening less and less because most of the car manufacturers are now installing anti-miss fueling devices in the filler necks of the cars. So it's practically impossible to get in a modern vehicle, so say, you know, an Audi or a Mercedes or a Volkswagen, to put the wrong fuel in because of this little gadget that the manufacturers are installing. But having said that, if you're determined enough, you will get it in. Like the diesel nozzle is 20 mil, the petrol nozzle is 17 mil. So in theory, the petrol will go into the diesel much easier, but not vice versa. However, as I say, where someone is really determined, they will
in Pauline's point, she put the resistance down to the angle she was trying to get the nozzle in, so it can be difficult. Okay, that's Ray from Fuel Rescue. Stay. Well, in one sense, Ray, will you go out of business if these gadgets come into every car?
I'm getting to the age that I'm at, Joe, where it's about time I hung up my boots anyway, you know.
Okay. And when people say to you, "You're sucking diesel," Ray, you say, "Yeah, that's what I do for a living."
Absolutely, I pray for my customers every night.
Keep praying, Ray. That's Ray from Fuel Rescue. Thank you, Ray. Where's Martin? Martin, what did you do?
Joe, I put in €75 worth of petrol into my diesel van.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. And
the whole thing was, you know, I put the green nozzle in, and when I went to put it back into the machine, I realised I had a green nozzle in my hand. How on earth? I paid for it, and I drove off, and then about 15, 20 minutes later, I stopped the van, and then I had to make a call, and I was on the hope that it would start again, but like that, nothing. It just wouldn't start at all, so I had to get it, obviously, I had to get it towed, because I had driven the van.
Yeah, but Martin, did you say you realised you put the petrol in?
I know. I was on that. You see, I had it in me. You know what you do with your hand.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even looking at it. I was just looking at the numbers on the machine. And it was only when I took it out and I had the green nozzle in my hand and I was like, I thought maybe it would, like, dry. It would.
Okay, so when you took your hand off the nozzle, you crossed your fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, so but the problem was the tow truck that came out had my company logos on it driving across the M50. It didn't look good, you know.
I know, yes.
But anyway, But you know, it was just your embarrassment. But yeah, but ever since it's been slagging over it, like, you know.
That's a very good point. When people see fuel rescue or fuel whatever, they say, it was that dope.
I'm laughing at it now because I can't believe it was.
But I'm laughing. We've all done it, you know. And by the way, people have done it corporately and in institutions where you know you've made a mistake, but you cross your fingers in the hope.
Exactly. And the thing about it is, Joe, even to this day, even when I do put the pump in, I look at the pipe, and to make sure it's black going into black. What I mean? But I mean, it's just,
okay. You're still on the road, Martin.
But listen, great story. Thanks, Joe.
Okay, good, Malcolm. Martin, where's Michael? Michael Carroll in Kildare.
Yes, hello, Joe. How are you?
What happened?
I was with the UN at the time in former Yugoslavia.
Okay.
And we had just started a new mission down in Macedonia. And I was told, bring down the 19 brand new Land Cruisers to them.
Toyotas,
so they were having some problems already with the fuel with their, and they had told me, bring down some fuel filters with you as it's clogging up the filters down here. So I said, okay, but I thought, geez, you know, this is not going to be a solution in the long term if it continues, you know. So anyway, we drove down through Belgrade and pulled in Belgrade to refuel these cars. And the man at the head of the convoy was a Russian guy. So he starts pumping the fuel, but he's pumping petrol into the diesel, brand new diesel cars. And I stopped him immediately and said, what are you doing? These are all diesel engines. Yeah. And he said, yes, but this is Romanian petrol and or diesel, and it doesn't have any antifreeze. So when it's minus 10 and below, we have to put 10% petrol in the diesel. Otherwise, it turns to gel. And then I realized this is the problem down in Skopje. But I'm looking back the line at 19 brand new Land Cruisers and thinking, how long will it take me to pay off this if this is not a good solution?
But was his solution, did it work, the mixture?
Well, I have to say, look, I'd have to bow to your superior knowledge in this area, you know, and it did. And ever after, we had to carry a jerry can of petrol in the cars to top it up with 10% every time we refueled. So it did. It worked. It kept us going.
That's fascinating, yeah. And by the way, when you say you moved 19, had you 19 drivers or you had truck carriers?
No, 19 drivers. We were driving them down,
Okay. And Land Cruisers are the preferred even now, aren't they? The preferred vehicle in that range.
They're kind of the Rolls Royce of four-wheel drive vehicles, and they're just bomb-proof, fantastic yokes. Until you put more than 10% petrol in.
Exactly. by the way, was there a language problem with the Russian soldier?
No, the kind of language of the mission was English. He was an officer, so they were all officers. You know, they were military observers, and they all had English.
I wonder. He's in the Russian army. Maybe he's retired. I wonder where he is now.
God knows.
Yeah. Are you still serving, Michael?
No. I retired in 2012. Okay. 2012.
When you look at the world, the world you were in the Balkan conflagration.
Look, it's still going on there, you know. Yeah. It's still not solved, and that whole area is just getting worse, I think, you know, with Ukraine and everything. Yeah. But when I got back, I had another small incident. Then I had bought a duty-free car, as you could when you're abroad.
Oh, of course.
And I bought a Mercedes diesel, and my young lad, who was about 10 at the time, we were driving down the country and we stopped for fuel, and I looked over my shoulder and here he is filling it with petrol. So immediately I jumped out and stopped him and checked, of course, how much had he put in, and then remembered, you know, you can put in 10%. I just topped it up.
But don't try this at home. Don't try this.
No.
Okay, Michael, thank you for your service. That's Michael Carroll in County Kildare. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Paul, you have a very simple solution.
Yeah, it is, Joe. Yeah, it seems to be working for me so far, anyway.
Tell us. Share it.
Well, We had a diesel car for for 7 years.
Okay.
And last month we changed the car, bought a new car at Opel Astra, and it's a petrol car. And I just happened to see in the garage at the time out there that they had stickers in the windows of the cars, like a petrol sticker or a diesel sticker, to let you know what car you're looking at and what it was. So I asked the people in the garage, when they were getting the car ready for us to collect, would they cut one of the petrol stickers and put it just over the fuel cap?
Brilliant. So every time
when I go to get fuel up, rather than have to look at the pump, all I have to do when I open the cap, I just see a sign right in front of me that says petrol.
Yeah. And could you get one of those signs and put it inside a window close to the petrol cap? You could, couldn't you?
Well, that's where it is. It's in on top of the petrol cap, Joe.
No, but I mean it's on the body of the car.
No, it's inside.
Oh, it's inside when you open the petrol car. Excellent.
When I open the cover, it says petrol right inside it. So I won't say, Joe, I can't make a mistake now. But that's a very good idea.
The other thing, it's a simple little idea.
It is, of course, yeah. And I mean, they do it for you in any garage. Or you could even write a sticker out yourself and put it, but it was just, ideal for them to do it for me. The other thing that kind of stood to me too, I used to get my diesel in a place that only sold diesel and agri diesel. So now I don't go there anymore. So obviously, I'm not going there specifically for diesel. So in my mind as well, it's telling me I'm not going to get diesel. So what else am I getting? It's petrol. So I know some of your listeners were saying that they were just not thinking on the day, and they made their mind was on something else, a bit under pressure. But before you even go to take out a pump with the thing I have on the car, you'll just see a sign that says petrol, and that's naturally going to tell you what you have to get.
Okay, and you could, reminder, petrol, don't be a fool, this is petrol,
Yeah.
Okay, Paul, thanks, good idea. Where's Margaret? Oh, Margaret, when did it happen? Margaret.
Sorry, Joe. Oh, this happened to me about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I was after getting my shopping.
Right.
And I was on my way home. Okay. Maybe it's the fright of the price of the cost of the shopping, I pulled in anyway to get the diesel.
Yeah.
And got the pump, filled the car, €50 worth, and was putting back the nozzle when I saw, this is petrol.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I rang my husband, so I knew not to start the car, and of course, that didn't go down too well, so he got the mechanic to come to me to take the car up, and he came to collect me in the shopping. Mm-hmm. And he says to the mechanic, what kind of a beep an idiot has put petrol in a diesel car?
Oh, I'm sorry, farmer. That's very cruel.
Yeah.
It's very cruel.
So, but he was annoyed, I can imagine.
Well, it's quite common, Alan.
He didn't think so, but about 2 months, 3 months later, he was up in the north with a Jeep.
Oh, I know what you're going
to
tell
me. And, of course, he had to refuel before he came back down again and pulled in, and he filled the diesel tank with petrol. And he had to ring me because he was in right state.
And you were full of empathy and sympathy. Yes, you were.
I was.
Yes, I knew,
you see. Understand where he was coming from.
Yes, yes.
Or because he was up the north, he knew nobody. And he had to get out, change, and he had to refuel again. So I could not wait for him to drive into the yard that evening. And when he came home, I went out to him and I said, what kind of a beeping idiot would put petrol in diesel? And he could do nothing, only look at me and say, it happens so easily.
As we're discovering. Yeah. Thanks indeed, Margaret.
Can I just say one quick thing about when you get petrol or diesel and you go in to pay it, in some of the garages, the till will talk to you and say, have you refueled or have you got petrol? Why couldn't they have that at the tank? What do you want, diesel or petrol? And then put it in people's head then.
Every now and again, please double check.
If it could.
Yeah, please double check.
If I could do something like that.
Yeah. Or even in a garage. Most garages have a PA system now. Even to say you shouldn't have to wait until it happens, but say it every now and again. Reminder, the number of people who missed fuel is greater than any of us think. And just keep your good idea.
Well, Margaret, I know when you open the tank in our car, it says diesel.
Well,
there's
a sticker.
Yes.
Okay.
That says diesel, and also for the woman that wasn't sure of what side her tank was, her to refuel was at. This is a little tip my granddaughter told me.
Okay.
If you look at the where you refuel gauges on your car, and there's a little
sign,
petrol tank.
Yeah.
Well, if your refueling point is at the right-hand side of your car,
there's a little arrow
going to the right, and if it's at the left, there's a little arrow going to the left. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's there. It's quite small, but it is there. Well spotted, Margaret. Tom Darcy, you've got to meet a Margaret, Margaret in Lochgorman. Tom Darcy.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You have a petrol station in County Offaly.
Yeah, and congratulations
on your great victory at the weekend. You say new pumps.
Yeah, well, these wouldn't be new now. They'd be 3 to 4 years old.
Okay.
And when you select a petrol nozzle, it will actually tell you you have selected petrol. And likewise, if you lift the diesel nozzle, it'll tell you we have selected diesel.
And has it worked?
Oh, it would have, yeah. You'd have very, very few problems now. In the past, we had loads. But it definitely would have gone down.
Are those petrol pumps much more expensive?
They were a touch more, yeah. Petrocort are the name of the company that supplied them. But, not going to go a while.
And whose voice do they use? Marty's?
It's just automated. It'd be similar to what that lady was talking about at the till when you ask, did you get petrol or diesel? But similar when you lift the diesel or petrol nozzle, it says you have selected diesel or likewise petrol.
Okay. Great idea.
Yep. Fair play to you last weekend.
A fair play. Absolutely. Historic victory. Where's Colin McDonagh? Sorry for holding you. Colin is in Galway.
All right, Joe. Interesting topic. And it happens to everyone.
Yeah.
But I've noticed there's a place I go to now that it's totally self-service. There's no staff in it. It's in Port Dumner. I won't give the name of the company, but anyone around will know what it is. So you pay for your fuel before you fill the car, with your credit card, and then it gives you a choice, petrol or diesel.
Okay.
So you're pressing the button to get diesel in my case, and off you go.
Okay.
It's one extra little step, so it won't happen. And it can't. It couldn't be that difficult to put that kind of a switch onto a standard manned petrol station pump, you know. And it did. It happened to me years ago on a newish car. I put about, I think, a tenner's worth of petrol into it. It was a diesel car. My own previous car was petrol, so that was the reason that happened.
And there's more of those prepay fuel stations popping up, isn't there?
Well, yeah, it's a good little step to have. Do you want petrol or diesel? You stop for a few seconds and, okay, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
And the guy in the garage said to me, just fill it up with diesel, you'd be grand. And it was. Yeah. Perfect. I still have the same car nearly 300,000 kilometres later, you know. So
Great. And safe travelling, Colin McDonagh. Siobhan, what does your car do?
Well, Joe, I had a car a few years ago. It was a 2009 Qashqai. And when I opened the fuel tank, it would shout at you, "Attention, diesel! Attention,
oh,
diesel!"
God.
You would be mortified.
Was it a German car?
No, it was a UK. Well, it was a Qashqai.
Octung diesel.
But it was.
And was it a male voice, a female voice, or Marty Morrissey's voice?
A very masculine male voice. So you would be mortified.
Like Marty Morrissey. Strong.
A bit like Marty.
Authoritative.
John Clarex.
Demanding. Believable. Distinctive. Memorable. The great Marty. So your car said, "Attention, diesel."
Diesel. Yeah.
And we ever tempted to say, "Do you think I'm a dope?"
Well, I think everyone around me looking at me probably thought that one has issues with fuel. But I have to say, the little chip in it ran out eventually, and I was a lot more nervous when it ran out.
It went laryngitic on you.
He's lost his voice. But it worked, and it was a very simple trick.
A very good idea. Okay, Siobhan, safe travelling. Anselm Mark Dwyer, broadcast coordinator. Oh, by the way, did I say happy birthday to Sil Fox? Sil is 92 this week, the wonderful Sil Fox. And good health to you, Sil. A great friend of this programme over the years. 92. God bless you, Sil. Sound Mark Dwyer, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Tara Lockery-Grant, and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home this spring with new curtains. Explore our stylish collection now at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.